Come on. Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D, and you are listening to I and Am podcast with Am Gelwa. Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D, and you are listening to I and Am.
Hello and welcome to yet another installment of I and Am, indeed the first one of 2023. Thank you for joining us. My name is Amgelon Begeni, aka Am, and in today's offering we have the incomparable Italian artist Jesse the Maestro. Jesse is a rising artist of Ghanaian origin, born in Palermo, Italy. He's attracting great success at the moment in Italy and further afield due to his unique musical, lyrical and personal expression. And by that I mean it's not unheard of to see him appearing in whiteface when he's on stage. And this, I gather, is a commentary on the derogatory use of blackface, at least in the past. So he challenges a lot of things, you know, he challenges the status quo. Needless to say, this young man is very outspoken on many delicate and sometimes controversial topics. Jesse does not shy away from topics such as poverty, freedom, and racism. He also employs a myriad of genres in his music, namely lyrical rap, trap reggae, and Afrobeat. In fact, you can pick up on the various musical influences when listening to his work. Jesse also leads the LIT movement. In this case, LIT is L-I-T, which is an acronym which stands for Libero in Tutto, free in anything. After meeting Jesse, I can attest that he is definitely the epitome of freedom. He really walks the talk. Fortunately, on I and Am today, we finally get the opportunity to get to know Jesse a little bit better. The discussion covers a great number of topics, as one can imagine, and of course, there's never a dull moment when in Jesse's company. We invite you to join us in a conversation we recently had in Helsinki, Finland. Enjoy.
Hello. Hi, folks. It's your truly original Don Damaestro speaking. Folks call me Maestro. In the street, they call me Maestro. You can call me whatever you want, but it's me, it's Jesse.
To some people, it can be just Jesse.
Exactamundo.
I like that you say exactamundo. Yes, yeah, exactamundo.
Exactamundo, you know.
So we were talking just the other day, like we were speaking about, actually we were talking about so many different things about your music. And then at some point something came up about your creative process. I wanted to know a little bit about your creative process. Mm. And you were explaining to me, you were talking things about meditation, you were talking things about reflecting and just speaking to yourself. And I thought to myself, that's interesting. I really want to explore more and go deeper into this. What is your relationship to meditation?
Yeah, of course. I'm a be straight up real, you know. I started meditating when I was like 12 years old. I was really, really young. And since, you know, in that age, you don't want to use, or maybe you are not that surrounded by the environment of drugs and all of that. It's hard to, you know, you can't be a junkie when you're 12 years old, you know?
You cannot, you must not, you should not,
exactly.
We must try and avoid that.
Kids, if you listen, don't do drugs.
Oh, yes. I'm going to ask you, what was making a 12-year-old in you feel like he needed an escape?
I started dealing with stress when I was young, really, really, really young, you know. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know the word stress. How can you explain it? But I was stressed. That's what many people was telling to me, but I didn't understand it, you know. I understood it when I was older, you know. And unintentionally, I started doing yoga by that, you know. And by, with stress, you know, I don't mean like just life stress, but also body stress.
Really?
I'm a guy who was injured a lot of times, you know. I used to play also football and all of those kind of things. So it also, you know, transmutated into knowing yoga positions, meditation positions to chill out your body, you know.
Yeah, because I gather that like sportsmen, they have to do some kind of mind settling things to help them, you know, get in the zone, so to speak. Yeah. Another thing is so interesting. So maybe there is a chance that some footballers get introduced to meditation through football.
Exactly. To cure your body from pains. Also to straighten up a body part, you know. So it starts like that, you know, doing some basic positions like the child pose and all of those poses that relaxes your back, your mind. That's why I say it started like an escape from my mind, because it was the only time when, you know, I was, can I say that I was free? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you one thing, like, I say that at 12 years old, you don't know how to manifest distress, so you don't use drugs. Like, you don't have access to drugs that easily. So, I remember I used to do this kind of, I don't know how you say, it's like a breathing malfunction that allows you to get high.
Really?
Yeah. And what you need to do, like everybody at home can do that, but I don't advise them to do that. You just stand on your knees, you breathe like for 20 seconds, and then you blow on your forearm, and you feel high.
Really? Did it work?
Girl.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So I started doing that like a lot of times, but it was bad for my breathing and all of those, like my, like how I breathe and all of those kind of things. So that was my first time having time with an high experience
through breathing and meditation.
So from it was like a joke. Later on, when I grew up, I realized how breathing is powerful. You know, as you grow, you become wiser and you learn how to manage better your things. So I must use this in a good way. It's not a bad way. So that's how I got into more yoga. You know, I like yoga. I'm a yoga boy, actually. My meditation is yoga based, you know. It's also based on the fact that I used to follow a course that it was called DDP yoga, and it was like an high intensity yoga. You know, I used to do that because it would be funny, but the guy that did that, I used to look up to him.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a wrestler. And I told you I'm a big fan of wrestling. So that man sold his product, and I was like, damn, he's my favorite wrestler.
Oh my God.
Let me check him out. But now, this guy is a guru. Now he's worldwide known. He has help so many people from injuries and all of those back pains because he was a wrestler. He was a superhero to me as a kid.
Oh my goodness.
So it was like, yeah, whatever that.
That's amazing.
Can I say that? Whatever that nigga do, I'm a following.
Whatever he's selling, you buying.
Yeah. But I thank God that my favorite wrestler, he was a good person. When he told me, like, bro, you must do yoga, it was for good intention. You know?
So role models, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody got his own role model, right? Someone can look up to MJ. You remember Michael Jordan? There was a slogan that was called, like, I want to be like Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy can look up to Mike, and that's why you see all these NBA players, because they looked up to Mike. In my case, I look up to artists. Like, pro wrestling is an art.
It is an art.
It's an art, you know.
It's a performance.
It's a performance. It requires, you know, good physique, also good patience. Mm-hmm. Because you have to face a guy that you friends with him in the backstage. But when you're in the ring, you must fight him because for the joy of the crowd.
Because you're performing.
You are performing. So I look up to them like superhero because I was a big fan of wrestling. So I wasn't like that type of guy who used to look wrestlers like, oh, he's really making these, like this. I knew what was behind the stage, you know. I know all the injuries that they had.
Understood all
so that got me appreciate them much more. And I look up to them as role models. And it's funny because I look up as my role models, musicians, pro wrestlers, and leaders. Okay.
So you think your sphere of influence is not limited? Like, you're not like choosing from a small pool of who influences the way you do things and the way you approach life?
At the moment, you know, my gift is the music. So that's how I'm manifesting it. Because actually, when I was a kid, I wanted to be many things. But I found out that I wanted to be, I didn't want to be famous, but I wanted to get known so I can use my voice. That was my aim.
You wanted to be so heard.
Yeah. Mm. So there are a lot of ways to get noise, you know. But it's up to us to, you know, the decision. It's up to us. So I chose the music because it was the one that I always made it genuinely. I sing like all day. I'm cooking, I sing. I shower, I sing. And it was the one that people like was like, dang, this guy got, hey. Like, they was like, hey. Man, is this kid is wow. Like, because I used to write since I was a kid. And people didn't take me seriously. Like, I was that type of guy, you know. You know what type of guy I am? I'm the type of guy who was in the hood. But the hood guys was like, guy, you got a talent. Don't sell drugs with us. Go really? Home. We give you money. Go home. Do your thing. Right. Hmm. So I thank God that I had some role models also in the streets that were good. Because, you know, when you're in the street, your role model is the one who have money. Yeah. And that's why I still have to represent my own material. If I want to do something, I do it. So...
So how did you decide to use music to be part of your expression for the things that you think and see and feel, the things that make you angry?
The answer is prolonged. Mm. As long as I'm answering you, I'm answering you also all the questions, you know. So absolutely. I'm going to answer you absolutely. Very, very gladly.
Thank you.
Music was, as I say, was the... My genuine way to show my creativity. It was people making me realizing that, you know, because actually, I don't know. I was a kid, I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted to be a lot of things. Like, but music, you know, music came in a stage of my life where I most needed it. Remember the fact that I told you that I was a 12 guy who was doing yoga. So I had to have some things to show my... Like, you know, to manifest my anger, my discomfort with the society.
Yes, yes.
As I was saying, you know, I was good in literature and I was bad in all the subjects. I was the class clown. I was respected in school, also because I was a rapper too, so you know, I was the cool guy.
You were always the rapper.
Girl, I studied early as fuck. For real, I studied early as fuck.
You're an OG in a young person's mind.
You know, in my city, they call me young veteran. And it's funny,
that's
yeah.
So appropriate.
Because they say, they be like, man, I've been hearing your name so much, like so many times, and you're still young.
He used air quotes like young, inverted commas.
Yeah. I'm an Italian, so I like to gesticulate.
I know, right?
Yeah, you see, yo, man.
We should have a video, like a video rise, as we say in South Africa, a video rised podcast so that they can see you make the gestures.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah.
This isn't an Italian thing, you know. I can talk without talking, with my hands. I swear, like, yeah. And that's the thing, you know. It brings a lot of harmony into your world. It's a thing like an Italian person doesn't understand, and people make fun of him outside of Italy. Like, I don't tend to neglect my roots. I was born in Italy, so this is my thing of Italy. I was born in Italy, actually. So
this is the Italian part of you.
Yeah, exactly. As much as I have my conflicts with the Italians, but I can't deny that I was born there, so I also have a lot of good memories and a lot of good harmony there. Because, can I tell you, like, I'm like a people's champ in my city. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because I'm a black dude who speak the dialect, so they be like, wow, like this guy is like the thing that any country will indicate us integration.
Yeah. You're like the poster child for integration.
Yeah.
Because how well do you speak this language?
But I'm one in a million. Not one, like, to get to this status, to understand both my people and them, I had to suffer from both cultures. So it takes a lot of experience, first-hand experience. Like, you must face racism in both sides. You face racism from your own people, and you face racism from the other people. My own people, when I say own, I always mean black, because I'm always black. A person from Italy will tell you, man, you like us. Like a good 60%, because now we're improving mentally.
Okay.
A good 40% will tell you, you know, like us. But it's the same that will feel like an African, because an African will tell me, man, you wasn't born in Africa. But also a good 60%, also a good 70%, because thank God I grew up with a fucking strong African culture at home. Strong. Like, my mama raised me as an African. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't raise me as a foreigner. So, man, she was like, go do this. Like, you know. But thank God my mama is a beautiful person. You know, my mama is a good person. Yeah. So, you know, they tend to stereotype an African mother that she's always hungry, she's always, ordering his son or his daughter to do some things. It's not like that. Remember that an African mom is an African woman, and you don't know how much things she's been through. So sometimes, you know, I be staring at my mom sometimes when she's doing her things, and I be like, damn. She's strong as fuck. So sometimes you need to understand why some Africans, they don't show that emotions.
Because they've been through so much.
Yeah. Some people call it tough love. I call it real love. I call it love that is just as is it, because there has been some traumas behind that.
For me, I'm happy to get sort of like the perspective of a black man living in Europe and having the black man experience in Europe. You know, that to me is like a very important perspective, because people romanticize first being born in Europe, living in Europe, because some people die on the way to coming to where you were born, you know, they are fighting to get to Italy, they're fighting to get to Finland, whatever, and they struggle, some pass away, you know, to where you were at. And yet, after all of this, you still are the person who celebrates his black masculinity, you know. You might not even call that, you might not even think that, I'm celebrating my black masculinity when I'm doing like this. But when we interpret it, those who are on the outside looking in, wise enough to see and clear enough to see, they can see what the expression is. And that is that of a man who's celebrating his masculinity, black or otherwise, but also who's on top of his game, who's in control of what he's doing. You know?
Yeah. She said a wonderful thing. Like, people tend to romanticize the life of a black man in Europe. That was like, as you say, like, I opened you a lot of eyes. You opened me a big eye with this. I want to be thankful for that, because you made me like realize how much good I'm doing, because I'm a fucking black nigga in Europe.
Exactly.
And people, you know, tend to say that, you know, America and all of this, but the racism here is different. I'm speaking from my country, but the racism is like, you go to the post office and you see like the woman that is working at the post office respond you differently from a white or Caucasian guy, you know. So, you know why I say you open me a big eye, because you open me the fact that I can represent our whole diaspora. You know?
You are. It's something you can't even maybe think about too much yourself.
And it's funny that I was born in Italy, because Italy is known as one of the most racist countries. So
yeah, it's quite harsh.
That's when I see when God, they say God works in mysterious way. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I ask myself, because let me tell you one thing, Queen, you know, many people don't know, like, it's not many people don't know, but when I'm in Italy, I'm a guy who doesn't have the citizenship, okay? Then you ask me why I'm hungry, eh? I'm a guy who doesn't have that citizenship. I'm a guy that was born there. I speak more better than them, the languages, no. But I still have to have the permit of staying there.
Oh, the visa.
Yeah. And I have to renew that.
Every year? Every time you travel?
Yeah.
Let me
tell you, like, that's what also connect me. My music connected to a lot of people. And my writings that were good in school, because I had good grades in literature and was also good lyrics to me, became a sort of a testimony of a lot of black people in my country. So that's why it was like a journal or like a diary that many people resonated to that. So
really?
that's how I got, let's say, popular. You know, I connected the same energy that I was at school, the same energy I connected to the music, because at school or during school I was like the guy that always, you know, since being the class clown, you always be like the front guy. When something is wrong with a teacher, you're the one who say, "Hey, teacher, wagwan." But I was like that. I was like, "Yo, teacher, wow." I was straight up,
just
like,
naturally.
And you know, I was a victim of strong racism even at school. Like, they failed me at the exam because the class headmaster was a racist ass guy, and he had a fascism tattoo in his forearm. So you know that. The grade that you need to reach at least to get promoted was like 60, and they failed me with a 59. It was like, man, you think we're going to make you pass? F that. Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God that situation allowed me to grow my anger. That's how I grew my anger, because if I was passing that SM, I would be in London or something like that. You know, things went another way. So I took it as a blessing. And then people ask me, why am I angry? I have so many episodes. Like, I will get boring, because
I think being born in Europe as a black man gives you enough anger issues to deal with as you grow up. And maybe, look,
let me tell you, it's not in Europe. Italy is different. That's what I want to say. And that's why I take it as a grace. Italy is known as a crazy ass country, straight up. Like, in my city, you don't see a black man doing good jobs. The only jobs that black men do is either selling drugs, a parker, or the one who helps that old lady at the grocery store. That's in my city. Yeah. I come from Palermo, which is different.
Palermo.
When people say Italy, Palermo is a different thing. It's like the south side, man, where the hotness come. It's like, you know, that it's not like Italy with a violin with a good music. No, it's Italy with a Godfather soundtrack. You know, it's that Italy.
The kind of Italy that makes you feel a little bit scared.
Yeah. It's not that good living Italy where you eat pizza and a guy named Marco brings you the pizza. It's
and
not
you
like
watch
that.
Andrea Bocelli. That is not the Italy you're describing.
Yeah, you totally got the point.
Oh, Lord.
It's Palermo, it's Sicily. Sicily is different. And it made me understand a lot of things about life. Mm-hmm. So I thank that. Because Italy is Italy, Milan is Milan. Milan, you know, you got fashion, all of that. I don't want to say that you don't have criminality in Milan, but
is it less so?
In Italy, it's like there is also a thing that is called omerta. Yeah, because people think about that themselves, and they think about the lives, and they think about the families.
So describe to me, what is omerta? I'll say omerta in English, but I know you said it the way you said it.
Yeah, omerta is like, you know, how can I explain you how omerta is? It's like, I'm afraid to say that shit now. That's omerta. omerta.
Because I thought it had something to do. It has something to do with death, punishable by death, at least.
Let me tell you. It's like
by death.
It's like no snitching, okay? But it's much different because.
And what would snitching be punishable by? Death.
Death, and not only death, also by punishments, which is like
a general punishment,
which is burning your store. Burning your store, killing one of your family, or
not like in the movie, or just like in the movies. Like what is?
It's
this?
Like the movies, but it's sad that we compare it to a movie because it's a reality. It's reality, and you know, I'm talking like this because I have an open mind, and people now in my city will be like, what the fuck is this nigga saying? Are you serious that you're saying these things in a podcast? But in the way that I'm saying it, I have my manners. I have the good discipline. And I know what I'm saying because I can say it. I felt it. It's not a thing that I saw from the movies. And it's a thing that I live every day. And my people are afraid to say that. And they wish someone would say that. I don't want to play it as the hero, though. I'm just saying the facts. And that's what makes me a musician and an artist. I see things from a third point view, you know, like a third person experience, you know. Like, I depict what I see. I'm the type of guy that see a fight, see the guy fighting, he will make a song about it, and you interfere in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That thing is also omerta, because omerta is also, see one thing, you haven't seen that thing. Go ahead. You haven't seen that. You know who did that, but shut the fuck up. And, you know, people in America tend to say no snitch, but you saw so many people snitching. The punishment in Italy is either you transform your identity totally, and you also have to be good in transforming that, because if you don't transform that, and people can still recognize you, like the world is small, you know. Takes a lot of courage what I'm saying right now. For real, I can say that because I felt it on my skin, and I'm not a cloud chaser. You know? I say what I see and what I live.
And that was the one and only Jesse the Maestro, artiste extraordinaire. As said earlier on, there is never a dull moment when in his company. By the way, Jesse has a new song coming out today, so do check it out on social media platforms, especially on Instagram, where there's a great body of his work available. Also, do join us for part two of this deep and interesting conversation with Jesse here on I&Am. Please remember to visit us on our website, www.iron.com, for more offerings. Also, you can also follow us on social media, platforms such as Instagram and Facebook. Thank you once again for investing time hanging out with us. Our guest was Jesse the Maestro, and I am Amgelon Begeni. Till next time, peace and blessings.
Here we go. Come on. Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D. And you are listening to I and Am Podcast with Am Gelwa. Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D. And you are listening to I and Am Podcast.